Invite you to turn with me also to John chapter 10 that we'll use for a basis for our study tonight. John chapter 10. Happy to see each and every one here tonight. Encouraged by the presence of each and every one. When we have opportunity to study God's Word together, it ought to be a time of rejoicing and happiness, a treasured time for each and every Christian to be able to look into God's Word. I just wanted to mention this before we read this passage together. A couple of things I'd like to mention. One is, I didn't mean to leave the young people this morning out of the lesson this morning. I mentioned about how that the lesson would apply to people other than mothers. And, of course, in a way, I guess it ought to be obvious to young people that, especially all these good-looking girls that we have here, that one day they're probably going to be mothers. That's the chances that they're probably going to be that way. And so we need to encourage them, and we look forward to them being mothers like Eunice and Lois and following in their example. The other thing I'd like to mention is that I'm not a doctor in any way, but there are a couple of members of the congregation I think that everybody needs to be aware of who, in my opinion, physical condition is not that good. We need to be visiting and encouraging them in every way that we can. Now, that doesn't mean that they're about to die or anything like that. Don't get me wrong, okay? But Wanda Hendrickson, for example, is in pretty serious condition. She can hardly lay down or sit up or do anything without being in terrible pain. And she is taking chemotherapy at the present time. She has had radiation in times past that have affected some of the bones and tissue in her body that caused her to suffer a great deal. Also, Brother Mac Bowling, in my opinion, could likely be in quite a serious condition. We need to remember him also and encourage him. And there are others, too, that there may be, but particularly I have those two in my mind tonight. John chapter 10, we're going to study a while tonight and sing a song or two then that has to do with what we're studying about throughout the lesson. Beginning in verse number 1, Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the shepherd hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he who is a hireling and not the sheep, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Of course, course, in this passage, Jesus is using the imagery of a sheep, a fold, and a flock of sheep to teach these lessons. He pictures himself as being the shepherd, and we are his sheep. There is the sheepfold in which the sheep would go, the place of safety. Of course, in a sense, that represents the church. But he pictures here a battle for the sheep. There's the imagery of the thief that comes to steal and to destroy. Jesus is the good shepherd that's interested in the welfare of the sheep. He's the one that's interested in our welfare, our benefit. The purpose of the thief is to destroy. He's a thief and a robber, verses 1 and 10 say. He's not concerned about the sheep, verse 13, whenever the wolf comes, he flees. He runs for his life. He's concerned about himself. He wants to kill, to destroy, and make a profit off of the sheep. Who is the sheep? Well, who is the thief here? The thief, of course, as we see, is a robber. He's a hireling. He's the one who works for wages. He's hired, in other words. He works simply for a profit. And it could be a picture of all false prophets and all false teachers. Those who want to fleece the sheep to make a profit for self. They have been many throughout the period of time. Maybe that Jesus was applying this to the Pharisees at this particular time. But he runs off when danger comes. John chapter 11, verse number 48, we see the chief priests and Pharisees scheming to what to do about Jesus. And they say, if we let him go on like this, many will come to believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away our place or our position and our nation also. They were concerned about their position. They didn't want to lose that. But he said that they said, if we don't stop him, so they're not interested in the people. They're not interested in what's right and wrong. They're interested in their position, their nation. There's a warning here that's given to us. Jesus actually gives us a warning that we need to beware of false prophets who comes to us in sheep's clothing. Inwardly, he says, they're ravening wolves. When Paul spoke to the elders of the church at Ephesus, he told them to take heed unto themselves and to all the flock, the sheep, over which the Holy Ghost had made them overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. As I know after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among the flock, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall rise the men, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Jesus is our shepherd. We must depend upon him to lead us and look to him and make sure that we commit our souls and our trust to him and be on the lookout for those that would make a profit of us, that would lead us astray. Let's sing this next song here now. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Thank you.
530. 530. There's also the wolf that's mentioned in this passage. The wolf is the natural enemy of the sheep, of course. He snatches the sheep and eats them. He would live off of the sheep, scatters the rest of the flock. He too wants to make use of the sheep. He and the sheep really have plain purposes in mind. They're both selfish, looking out for their own interests. The wolf, of course, is the devil. We're told to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he might devour. The devil, of course, was a murderer from the beginning. Jesus calls him in John 8 and verse number 44, the father of lies. When he tells a lie, he speaks of his own, because he's a lying father of lies. But Jesus called false teachers the children of the devil in this same passage. And he tells here some of the false teachers that you are of your father, the devil. And the will of your father is what you seek to do. But the devil, again, is not interested in either good for his own or good for the sheep. He will not even take care of his own. He's only interested in that which is a benefit to him. On the other hand, then we have the shepherd. We need to recognize how the shepherd loves us. The shepherd, of course, is Jesus Christ. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A wonderful close relationship should exist between the sheep and the shepherd. The purpose of Jesus, of course, is to save. Verse number 9, it says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he shall be saved. He provides nourishment and strength for growth, which is necessary for life. He leads them by the still water, leads them into the green pastures, lays down his life for the good of the sheep. But notice in verse 10, he says, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. This is what the good shepherd seeks to do, to give us the abundant life. Many times people of our world are confused. Who is the good shepherd? Who is the one that will guide us aright? Too often we look to men. And sometimes men are false teachers. Men will fail. We need to look to Jesus Christ. For this purpose, he came to the earth to give us the abundant life. For this purpose, he has given his life. We need each one to take seriously the message found in this song here. In 530, the Lord is my shepherd. 405. Are you enjoying the abundant life? Do you enjoy the abundant life? I'm giving you time to think about that question. Jesus said he had come that his sheep might have abundant life. If we are his sheep, we should be enjoying life abundant. The abundant life. Ever thought about that? Is there a better life that you can have upon this earth than what you have right now? If the Lord truly is our shepherd, and this song we've just sang here based upon the 23rd Psalm, certainly talks about how that we would trust him and depend upon him, and how he would lead us to the still water, cause us to lie down in pastures of contentment beside the, in the green pastures. The Lord didn't promise to take away every problem or every difficulty in life. He did promise we wouldn't be tempted of would anything come to us that we couldn't handle. And he did promise he'd work all things together for our good. But Jesus came to this earth to provide every need of the sheep that they might have the abundant life. What is it? Well, it seems to me the abundant life is that which goes merely beyond living, merely beyond just existence. But it is that which is superadded to make life happy, to give us peace and joy. It's to have peace with God, to have peace with our fellow man. It's to have a life of joy and assurance. It's eternal joy. Though all around us might be perishing, though there are troubles and difficulties on every side, if Jesus is truly our shepherd, and if we truly depend upon him, then we can have that peace, though there may be difficulties, problems all around us. Paul spoke of this in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18, when he said, "Therefore we do not lose heart, for even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for the moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are just temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Our peace, and we can have that peace and the abundant life because we do not depend just upon the things which we can see. You see, if we depend upon and look about us and trust in the things that we can see, this physical existence, then certainly there's going to be turmoil within our souls. There's not going to be any peace. There's going to be anxiety. There's going to be fretting and worry. But when we look at those things that are eternal, those things which are not seen, and our faith and trust is in those things and in the Good Shepherd, and we remember that we are the sheep of his pasture, then there can be eternal joy and peace. It is the knowledge that he will supply our every need. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Paul said, Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." He can take care of all of our needs. The abundant life is a life free from sin and the fear of death. We can live each day knowing that if that day is our last, we do not have to have any anxiety or concern or fear about it. That if all of a sudden in an automobile accident our life is to be sniffed out in that moment before we crash with the train or hit that other automobile head on or go off the cliff, in that moment, we know we can still say, well, this is it. And say to our Heavenly Father, as the Lord Jesus said, to thy hands I commend my spirit. Because we have the Good Shepherd that leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. And we need not fear any evil. The Good Shepherd died for us, gave our life for us. In Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15 says, for as much as we, they're talking about the children of sons of God, for as much as we are partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise partook of the same nature, that he through death might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We don't have to be in bondage to that fear of death. Jesus delivered us from it. He says, you shall know the truth. If you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We can be free from sin, free from the fear of death. The abundant life, then, is all of these things, that peace and joy and assurance that we can have. But it is to be partakers also of the divine nature. There must be a change within us as we seek to be like God, as we seek to be holy as he is holy. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4 says that his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, to be like God. What a wonderful privilege that we have to have this type of a shepherd. This song we're going to sing, O Thou Fount of Every Blessing, truly should describe our great shepherd. He is the fount of every blessing, all that we receive. He rules in heaven and in earth. All of our blessings must come from him who rules heaven and earth, the fount of every blessing, our shepherd.
O Thou Fount of Every Blessing, my heart could sing thy grace, strength of mercy never ceasing, all for song of God of loudest praise. Keep me ever to adore thee,
169. Is that the right one there? Next. 169. You know, I just had this thought that come to me before we move off of talking about the abundant life that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is talking there about how that we should depend upon him and not be anxious and worried about food and clothing and shelter, and how he feeds the birds of the air and dresses the lilies of the field. And he says in verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or where, or what shall we wear? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father know that you have need of all these things. And for many years of my life, I couldn't figure, what does he mean when he says, for all these things do the Gentiles seek? You know, in terms of our lesson tonight, he's saying the Gentiles don't have a good shepherd. And they have to be anxious and worried and concerned about these things. They're seeking after those things, fretting after them, trying to obtain them. He says, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Your heavenly Father knows, our shepherd knows what our needs are. And he will provide those things. But we must follow the voice of the good shepherd. Notice he says there that my sheep hear my voice. Sometimes I think in the times in Palestine here when Jesus lived, on the side of the mountain someplace or a place of shelter,